Developing news tonight on this deadly flu emergency. Federal health officials now say it's the worst in nearly a decade. So many parents rushing their children to jam-packed ERs.
I wouldn't wish that on any mother, any parent, period.
And this tonight from the CDC, it's hitting baby boomers unusually hard. New calls to protect the special counsel after revelations that President Trump ordered Robert Mueller fired, but backed down when his White House counsel threatened to quit. A bombshell report about casino billionaire Steve Wynn, one of the most powerful mega moguls in Vegas, Trump confidant and Republican power player, accused of repeated sexual misconduct. A demand for answers after a rescue mission gone wrong. The FBI tries to save a kidnapped man, but mistakenly shoots the hostage to death. And our exclusive first look at the hot new idea to cut down on all those flight delays and cancellations because of snow and ice.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good Friday evening from our Los Angeles studios, and thanks to our viewers on the West Coast for joining us. There is a growing chance tonight that either you or someone you know has been hit with the flu. As we're all finding out one way or the other, this is the worst flu season in nearly a decade, the CDC confirming today. Widespread flu activity is sweeping through 49 states, but it is who is getting hit that's puzzling scientists. An abnormally high number of baby boomers, along with children and the elderly. The government warning tonight that with weeks left in the flu season, this outbreak will likely get worse before it gets better. Kerry Sanders reports on what you need to know to protect yourself and your family in this flu emergency.
Say thanks for all of the prayers.
6-month-old Alea battling the flu at Erlinger Hospital in Chattanooga. Her mother, Asha Bentley, is frightened.
I can't compare anything to this feeling. It's horrible.
Worried about her baby for good reason. The Centers for Disease Control says so far this year, 37 children have died compared to just 8 at this time last year. Most public attention is focused on children, like 12-year-old Dylan Winnick, who died at home in Florida from what his parents thought at first was just a cold.
Take a nice deep breath.
But the CDC says it's the elderly who are most at risk, followed by adults 50 to 64.
But this year, the baby boomers have really replaced their grandchildren in terms of the rates of hospitalization.
An added concern, a new study shows people who've had the flu are 6 times more likely to have a heart attack within a week. But this season, everyone's at risk. In Indiana, Carly Slavin died after caring for her own sick children. And in Oregon, Tandy Harmon died after being sent home from the hospital complaining of the flu. In Gulf County, Florida today, an intense cleaning. Students, teachers, everyone told to stay home until next week.
Do you think this break will break the cycle?
I think it's a lot like the halftime in a ball game.
Meantime, back in the pediatric intensive care unit, baby Alea, here for 3 days, is hanging on, now in stable condition.
It's my baby. I love her. I love her so much. She's everything to me.
Here in the emergency room at DeKalb Medical, they've seen almost 700 flu patients just this year. Statistically, 3 times what they normally see here. Again, the CDC says, if you have not gotten your flu shot, there is still time. Lester?
Kerry Sanders tonight starting us off. Thank you, Kerry. Tonight, there are new calls from Capitol Hill to protect special counsel Robert Mueller after a report in the New York Times and confirmed by a source to NBC News that President Trump ordered Robert Mueller to be fired last June, but backed down when the White House counsel threatened to resign. The president has now issued a denial, and we get all the latest from NBC's Kristen Welker.
In Davos today, President Trump lashing out at reports he ordered the firing of special counsel Robert Mueller last June.
Fake news, folks. Fake news.
A source with firsthand knowledge of the matter tells NBC News Mr. Trump ultimately backed down when his White House counsel Don McGahn threatened to quit over it, saying the move would be catastrophic. The news, first reported by the New York Times, said it all happened amid the first reports Mueller was looking into a possible obstruction case, the White House on defense.
We know that the president is not considering firing Mueller. We want to find an end to this investigation.
Democrats pounced, renewing calls for a bill aimed at protecting the special counsel.
We've seen a pattern of behavior of him going after people that are related to this investigation.
President Trump has long denied he ever considered firing Mueller.
I haven't given it any thought. I mean, I've been reading about it from you people. You say, oh, I'm going to dismiss him. No, I'm not dismissing anybody.
Are you considering firing Robert Mueller?
No, not at all.
No, I'm not.
But his closest advisors had a different take.
I think he's considering perhaps terminating the special counsel. I think he's weighing that option.
The president's frustration with the Russia investigation reached a fever pitch last June when he ordered that Mueller be fired. June 6th, President Trump was infuriated when his attorney general recused himself from the Russia probe. 2 days later, June 8th, former FBI Director James Comey testified on Capitol Hill Mueller could be looking at an obstruction case. And June 14th, another bombshell. Various news outlets confirm Mueller is looking into possible obstruction of justice by the president himself.
In a case like this, you need to look at lots and lots of individual acts. Firing Jim Comey, ordering the firing of Bob Mueller. You take all of the acts together and it begins to become more clear that it is obstruction.
The president returns home from Davos tonight, where he'll have to confront these new developments. So far, the president's legal team says it's made at least 47 people available to Mueller for an interview, with negotiations ongoing about a possible interview of the president himself, Lester.
All right, Kristen Welker at the White House, thank you. Meantime, with the Russia investigation still swirling, President Trump addressed the world's wealthy and powerful today in Switzerland, declaring that America first doesn't mean America alone, and that the U.S. is open for business. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson is traveling with the president.
For Donald Trump, no major missteps on message and on script in Switzerland.
America is open for business, and we are competitive once again.
Today, addressing the World Economic Forum, packed with a who's who of business and foreign leaders. As the president on stage trumpeted the U.S. economy, new data was released showing GDP growth of 2.6%. Good, but short of what the White House wanted.
Moving the economic needle when it comes to GDP growth is complicated. It is not easy to do, and perhaps it's something the president is going to have to think about.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross.
I think it's not so much that he came here to make a deal. He came here to clarify misconceptions that many of the people in the audience had.
Like?
Well, like they thought we're running away from the world stage.
What's clear now? The candidate who fought the global elite.
Globalization has made the financial elite who donate to politicians very, very wealthy.
Is now the president working to reassure them.
I will always put America first, but America first does not mean America alone.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Davos.
Another rich and powerful man has been hit with accusations of sexual misconduct. Billionaire Steve Wynn, a casino mogul and powerful figure in Republican politics, is reportedly facing allegations from dozens of current and former employees. Let's get details now from NBC's Rahema Ellis.
In Las Vegas, his name is synonymous with luxury, the man who's built some of the biggest casinos on the Strip. But tonight, Steve Wynn is under fire. According to the Wall Street Journal, the casino billionaire paid an unnamed manicurist who worked at his flagship hotel a $7.5 million settlement. After she filed a detailed report to the casino's human resources department, claiming that during a manicure in his office, Wynn pressured her to take her clothes off and have sex with him back in 2005. The Wall Street Journal talked to 150 past and present employees of Wynn, some of whom allege similar behavior.
There is a cumulative pattern of sexual misconduct from Steve Wynn that comes into view from talking to a large number of employees over a long period of time.
Some of the behavior allegedly taking place in Wynn's office, where he kept a massage table. In a statement, Steve Wynn says, the idea that I ever assaulted any woman is preposterous, and that the instigation of these accusations is the continued work of my ex-wife, Elaine Wynn, with whom I am involved in a terrible and nasty lawsuit. Elaine has explicitly threatened to slander and destroy me. Tonight, Wynn Resort says it has an anonymous tip line for employees, and not one complaint was made to that hotline regarding Mr. Wynn. Wynn is not just a casino mogul, he's also a major political player.
His advice I like to listen to.
After the election, Wynn became the RNC's finance chairman.
Neither the RNC nor Elaine Wynn responded to our request for a comment,
But tonight, the Massachusetts Gaming Commission says it takes the allegations against Wynn very seriously and is opening up an investigation of Wynn's Boston casino. Lester?
Rahama Ellis in New York tonight. Thank you. There's a major new development of the sex abuse scandal at USA Gymnastics. Tonight, the organization's board bowing to pressure from the U.S. Olympic Committee, which told the remaining members to step down or else. NBC's Ann Thompson has the latest.
Time's up for the USA Gymnastics Board of Directors, tonight promising to resign as demanded by the U.S. Olympic Committee, which wrote, USAG culture needs fundamental rebuilding in the wake of the 150-plus young women who say former team doctor Larry Nassar sexually abused them.
You need a clean slate.
Dominique Muciano was one of 1996 gold medal squad. She was not abused by Nassar, but says USA Gymnastics promoted a culture of physical and emotional abuse, led by coaching legends Bella and Marta Caroli.
It is rotten to its core because the abusive nature has infiltrated into its core, and fundamental change is absolutely a necessity.
We have been unable to reach the Carolis.
We are here. We have our voices, and we are not going anywhere.
The powerful testimony of Olympic medalist Allie Raisman and the other women forcing dramatic change at Michigan State University. Students tonight protesting Nassar's tenure there, where he also abused female athletes. Today, MSU's athletic director retiring.
We failed you.
And at the Board of Trustees, tears of regret.
I have a daughter here. I have a daughter that dreams of coming here. And I want her to feel safe.
Sentiments too late for the young women whose lives were forever changed. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
Let's go now to Houston and growing questions tonight after a rescue operation gone wrong. The FBI tried to save a kidnapping victim, but instead, during the chaos of a raid, opened fire and mistakenly killed that hostage. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has the details.
When the FBI raided this home in Houston, the kidnapping victim they were trying to rescue was shot and killed. Charging documents say the hostage was bound when the extraction team burst in, gunning him down in the chaos.
I'm having to explain to the family what happened to the victim, and I have no information.
Police say Ulysses Valadares was home with his 12-year-old son when two men forced their way in, ransacked the house, tied up the boy, and left with the victim. Claiming to be a part of a Mexican drug cartel, the suspects demanded a $20,000 ransom from the victim's family, saying they would kill him if they weren't paid.
It's very scary knowing that that would happen right next door.
Police tracked down the men at a motel, but Valadares was tied up in a nearby home, being watched by a girlfriend of one of the suspects. The FBI stormed the property and mistakenly killed the hostage.
The boy's father's not coming home. We failed this child, and that is unfortunate.
A rescue gone wrong. The bound victim shot by those trying to save him. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Overseas, Paris has been hit with massive flooding after days of relentless rain. Hundreds have been evacuated, and tonight the dangerous waters are still rising. NBC's Kelly Cobiella with the latest now.
Tonight, the City of Light is swamped. The iconic River Seine swollen and overflowing. Parisian parks washed out. At the world-famous Louvre Museum, they've closed the lower floor. Tourists disappointed.
We were planning on going on a river dinner cruise eventually, but that's been closed.
Residents devastated, with entire neighborhoods south of the city underwater. It's deja vu for Parisians. This is what the city looked like just a year and a half ago. Museums had to move masterpieces to higher ground. Tonight, officials here say they've had one of the heaviest rainfalls in a century. The river is at 18 feet and expected to crest tomorrow just under 20. Lester?
All right, Kelly Cobier in Paris, thanks. Still ahead, sick of winter weather causing your flight to be delayed or canceled? Our exclusive look at the hot idea that could make some of those hassles melt away. Also inspiring America. When disaster struck, they went above and beyond to get strangers life-saving help. Stay with us. We are back tonight with a potential game changer for cutting down on all those flight delays and cancellations we see during the winter. With a new round of snow and ice expected this weekend in some parts of the country, there's hot new technology that could keep planes moving, even in snowstorms. The FAA is funding a program that can melt snow as it hits the runway so flights aren't grounded. NBC National Investigative Correspondent Jeff Rawson has the exclusive in tonight's Rawson Reports.
It's a winter travel nightmare. Planes skidding off runways, not to mention passengers stranded. Just this month, more than 18,500 flights canceled because of winter weather. Now, new technology to fix all that. Heated runways, and tonight, we're getting an exclusive look. The runway is made of special concrete embedded with electrodes. Turn on the power and the runway heats up.
So you're saying if I grab some snow from over here, it should melt the snow?
Yep, right away.
Grab some snow, you ready? I'm gonna throw it down, here we go.
Yep.
All right, so there it is. Right on impact, you can already see it melting.
Yep.
It's bubbling, you see that?
It's melting right away. It's a very powerful system.
Wow.
Watch it up close, the snow turning to water in seconds.
How hot does this pavement get?
We can check with our thermal gun right away. If you just have it here, it's 62 degrees Fahrenheit.
62 degrees. Let's test it over here where it's not heated. And by the way, here in Des Moines, it's like 8 degrees here today. It is bitter cold. So this is what America's runways are.
And this spot is 22 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's a huge difference. So if snow hits this, it turns to ice over there. Huge difference. Melts.
Exactly.
It even works when the entire runway is blanketed with snow. Instantly melting, taking less than 10 minutes to turn into water. So how much does it cost? $200 million to install at most airports, but researchers say the savings for airlines and passengers will be many millions more. Jeff Rawson, NBC News, Des Moines, Iowa.
Fascinating idea. Coming up, just in time for Mardi Gras, the big mystery solved in the Big Easy. And Supermarket Smackdown, just wait till you hear what these shoppers are fighting over. The party has already started in New Orleans leading up to Mardi Gras, but have you ever wondered what happens to all those beads that get thrown? Turns out a lot of them end up in storm drains, and we do mean a lot. Crews recently cleaned out 93,000 pounds of beads from drains in just one five-block stretch. KFC is giving its iconic pitchman a bit of a makeover, and it's turning to country royalty to fill that white suit. Reba McEntire is the first famous woman to play Colonel Sanders and the first musician in commercials rolling out next week. Several famous men have played the Colonel in recent years, including Rob Lowe and Ray Liotta. And chaos caught on camera inside several supermarkets near riots breaking out in France, all because of a sweet treat. Shoppers went into a frenzy when a store chain offered Nutella at 70% off. After scenes like these, the chain apologized, saying it was surprised by the huge demand. Of course, if you've had Nutella, I don't know. But we're back in a moment of Strangers Helping Strangers. The story guaranteed to lift your spirits. Inspiring America is next. Finally tonight, weeks after the devastating mudslides that killed 21 people here in Southern California, parts of the stricken area remain closed off. For some, it is more than an emotional trauma and inconvenience. It is potentially a matter of life and death, a plight recognized by a community that has literally gone above and beyond to support them and is inspiring America.
For Joanne Vega, destructive mudslides washed away her road to recovery. Joanne needs daily radiation treatments as she battles breast cancer. But roads blocked by debris made getting to her appointments impossible.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, let's go.
Alone and unable to drive, strangers came to give her a lift up and over the disaster zone.
They're heroes, in my opinion. They're the true heroes.
Have a good day.
Each day, Joanne was shuttled from home to an airport. Then, with pilot Stephen Dance in control, she was cleared for takeoff.
It's putting the plane, all those seats in the back, to a really great purpose, and I'm so thankful to be able to do it.
Two nonprofits, Thomas Fire Health and Angel Flight West, linked up to carry more than 80 outpatients to hundreds of medical appointments.
It took 11 strangers to get her from her home up to the hospital. And that's incredible.
For 8-year-old Eliana Georges, her first flight was a chopper ride, the only way she could get to the children's hospital for her heart monitor.
It, like, says if I'm breathing or not, I think.
As the roads begin to reopen, patients like Joanne and Eliana are forever grateful they are not alone.
I don't know what I would do if these flights weren't available to people like me.
And now with new friends, the journey proved to be just as rewarding as the destination.
A big thanks to our partners here in Los Angeles, NBC4LA, for helping us bring that story to you. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Friday night. Jose Diaz-Balart will be here tomorrow. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.